Now, in spite of another arrest just this morning and all the continuing police and parliamentary inquiries, in public terms, the News of the World phone hacking story yesterday hit something of a standoff, with James Murdoch and his former lieutenants, legal director Tom Crone and one-time editor Colin Myler, apparently at odds over who told who what, and therefore who knew about how widespread phone hacking at the newspaper actually was. And it may well be that we won't get any nearer the bottom of that question until Lord Leveson reports into precisely what went on at the News of the World and beyond, which, because of ongoing criminal inquiries, might well not happen for some considerable time. Meanwhile, however, yesterday, the other aspects of Leveson's inquiry into press practices and journalistic ethics, press regulation, cross-media ownership, yes, the list is long, relations between the press and politicians, and between the press and the police, got underway in earnest. But set up as it was in the wake of widespread concern, especially in Westminster, about those very important questions, there are now fears that Leveson might have been given a brief that is too wide, and dangerously so. I'm joined by Times crime and security editor Sean O'Neill and one-time FT editor, now media consultant, Andrew Gowers. Gentlemen, many thanks indeed for joining us. Andrew, can I start with you? Are there particular aspects of Leveson that worry you?
Well, I think it's a very long list, as you say, of concerns that he's been asked to address. I think there's a real risk of mission creep and of, frankly, overload. You know, if you add in some of the things that weren't on the initial list but have been mentioned as things that will come up, social media being one, broadcasting, cross-media ownership, a whole many forests have been felled in reports about that. So I think it's, if I had one word of advice for the inquiry, which got some very expert people on it, it would be focus relentlessly on the press. Your first line is the culture, practices and ethics of the press. There's enough there to be going on with.
Has this been thought through, do you think?
I think it was a you know, scrambled together. So I think it sounds like a bit of a sort of chaotic laundry list, and therefore probably open to Lord Leveson to focus it in the way I described.
Sean, what are your concerns about it?
Well, it's not just Leveson that's concerning me, Steve. There's also two other inquiries going on at the moment. Scotland Yard have set up an internal review of press relations, which is being run by Elizabeth Filkin, the former Parliamentary Standards Commissioner. And Sir Dennis O'Connor, the Chief Inspector of Constabulary, is doing a nationwide review at the request of the Home Secretary into relations between the police and the press, which is going to look at everything from payments to corrupt officers for tip-offs and information, all the way down to hospitality, and which I think is, you know, a pie and a pint in a pub near Scotland Yard.
But going back to where this all began, with the stuff that emerged from the News of the World, there's plainly something has gone quite wrong here, and there's pretty widespread public concern about it. What's the risk here with trying to fix it?
Well, the risk is that if you go down the route of regulating all contact between the police and, say, crime correspondents, what you actually cover up then, or what you rule out, is the chance for the whistleblower in police ranks to come forward and tell you stories of corruption or stories of malpractice or stories of, you know, just where the police have got it wrong in investigations. I'm thinking particularly recently of the riots. We had a series of stories very critical of the police tactics. They came from rank-and-file officers making anonymous phone calls or contacting us through social media, saying they were told to stand by, to stand and observe, stuff like that.
So if contacts between press and police officers all had to be regulated, or were in some other form illegal, if that was ever enforceable, I guess, then you think that the public would end up being much less well-informed than they are now?
Well, I think they'd be much less well-informed, and I think that the risk of police corruption flourishing is much higher.
And let me ask you one other question. We heard this morning that Amelia Hill, a Guardian journalist, had been interviewed under caution by the police, apparently in connection with a suspected leaking from the phone hacking inquiry itself. But what do you make of that?
Well, I think, as the Guardian said, there's a real risk here of criminalising conversations between journalists and the police. The only thing to be concerned about in there, the thing they should be looking at, and it's already illegal, is if there are payments. Now, that's been illegal for years and years and years. We don't need new regulation to deal with that. If journalists are getting information from police sources, that's what we do, that's our jobs, and it's very often and very strongly in the public interest.
Andrew Gowers, the other aspect of this is trying to regulate, come up with some scheme for contacts between the press and politicians. There's an understandable desire for more openness, I guess, but I wonder whether if you like, journalists and politicians on one hand is being confused with proprietors and politicians on the other.
Yeah, I think that's a very real risk. I mean, the problem in the News of the World issue was not contacts between journalists and politicians, it was contact between proprietors and politicians, one might say craven politicians running after media proprietors, and developing excessively cosy relations that led then to blind eyes being turned to some of the malpractices in media. So I lead it straight back to, this is a question of media standards. It can be it can be regulated through the way that newsrooms are run and overseen, if there's a need for independent oversight of press standards. You cannot hope to regulate conversations, I completely agree with Sean, between journalists and police.
You can hope to, but should you attempt to?
No, I think it's folly. And I think it's folly to try and regulate conversations, if that's where it will eventually lead, between journalists and politicians. But in the case of politicians' contact with proprietors and companies that own media, clearly there's an answer there. It's called transparency.
Do you think that the basic day-to-day contact between politicians who want to get their story across to journalists, either sometimes about their friends as well as their enemies, is that going to stop whatever you do?
I think it's going to carry on. I think it's a necessary part of democracy, and I don't think there's a problem there to be fixed.
And, Sean, I mean, do you think there's a genuine threat to journalistic freedom here, or is it just that it hasn't really been quite thought through yet?
Well, it definitely hasn't been thought through yet, but I think there is a threat to journalistic freedom. And if you go, we only have to go back a few short years to the case of Sally Murr, which you're probably familiar with, Steve, the Milton Keynes citizen journalist who was arrested because she had a police source, was arrested, I think, on three occasions, almost put on trial, and it was only that case was eventually thrown out because she had Article 10 rights and her police source had Article 10 rights. Now, we are in danger of moving into that territory. And I also think it's incredibly ironic that at least one of these inquiries, the HMIC one, has been set up by the Home Secretary, who employs SPADs and spin doctors galore and
SPADs being special advisors.
Yeah, and all of these people cultivate the press and cultivate relations with political journalists. You know, I think we're in serious danger of cutting off, and it's the first step towards this kind of state regulation that we all fear, and which has just got to be very dangerous for press freedom.
Andrew, do you have confidence that Leveson will sort this out appropriately? Ultimately,
I think that he has every sign of being a very clear-headed and sensible man who will understand that the issue at the heart of the News of the World scandal and of other scandals is to do with standards of behaviour and ethics and codes of practice in the press.
Andrew Gowers, Sean O'Neill, many thanks indeed. Well, that's all we have time for this week, but as ever, do feel free to email us, themediashow@bbc.co.uk.